This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Okay, Thursday afternoon, and we are almost to the weekend. I'm Scoot on the air. Really glad you are with us this afternoon. God, we have a lot to talk about. And I wrote up some rules for calling into the show, because it seems like there are a lot of people who just have misconceptions about this show and misconceptions about what they're entitled to when they call the show. I mean, we don't have to deal with the complaints about, well, I didn't get enough time, or you cut me off. We're tired of all that. We have no obligation to take any calls whatsoever. And we have no obligation to take your call. And if you disagree with us, we have no obligation to put you on the air. And I guarantee you that this show here on WWL takes a hell of a lot more from opposing views than the conservative talk shows around the country. They're designed to promote Donald Trump. They're not going to be promoting opposing views. So, you know, we're very clear about what we do here. And I think maybe in fairness to the audience, we should be a little more clear with you about what we expect and what you can expect. So we're going to go over some of the rules of calling into our show coming up. Well, we'll do that in just a few minutes. This is the Thursday of Labor Day weekend. It is the unofficial end of summer. It is the emotional end of summer. And even though kids have gone back to school, this is the emotional end of summertime. This is the beginning of a Labor Day weekend. College football kicks off tonight at Yulman Stadium, Tulane and Southeastern. And that should be exciting. It seems like the rain is going to be out of here. A lot of scattered showers. I went through a heavy storm coming in from West End just a little while ago. So heavy storms in the area, but it looks like this is going to clear out later this afternoon. And it doesn't look like it's going to be a big problem tonight. Today is the anniversary of Hurricane Katrina, which hit 19 years ago today. It is also the anniversary of Hurricane Ida, which hit 3 years ago today. Are you fully recovered? What has changed? What has changed for the better since Katrina? And what has changed for the worse? I see a lot of changes in New Orleans since Katrina. And I think most of the changes are positive. But there are some lingering problems that just don't change. And one of them is our mentality. Tonight, CNN's Dana Bash is going to interview Kamala Harris and her vice presidential running mate, Governor of Minnesota, Tim Walz. What is a question you'd like to ask her? Do you think Dana Bash is going to ask the tough questions? I think she is. Now, even if she asks tough questions, many of you are going to say, oh, she just gave her softball questions. No, I think she's going to ask some tough questions. And we'll talk about the questions and some of the answers on our show tomorrow afternoon. If I had one question to ask Kamala Harris, I'll share that question with you. But what would you like to ask her? What do you think Dana Bash should ask her? So we'll talk about that this afternoon. We had a pressing moment yesterday on the show, and we'll talk a little bit more about it today. The Army released a statement about the alleged bullying incident with the Trump campaign violating federal law by taking pictures at the Arlington National Cemetery. The Trump people didn't give a damn. They did not respect the soldiers, which is really congruent with Donald Trump's mentality. The things that he said about John McCain, the things that he has said about our soldiers in the past. And I somehow think that psychologically Donald Trump has dismissed soldiers, even though he honored some soldiers. Because this was a photo op. This is not Donald Trump deep down inside. This is my opinion, my impression of him based on what he has told us about himself over the years. Donald Trump, I think, feels guilt over the foot problems that he had that kept him out of the military. I know he probably doesn't feel guilty about many things, but I think he's bothered by the idea that a lot of people went and he didn't go. And he, it's not that he didn't go. It's that he did what he could to get out of the draft. He was called. And he was a draft dodger. So for him to be there with really no public reconciliation is kind of disingenuous. Again, that's my opinion. Donald Trump has introduced oral sex into the campaign. That's right, fellatio, now part of the campaign. He brought up something that I thought was, why bring that up? Why even mention it? And it goes to show you that he's kind of gross. Let's see. Oh, and vice presidential running mate for Donald Trump, J.D. Vance, told Kamala Harris to, quote, go to hell. Said she can go to hell. Do you think they're getting nervous? You think they're concerned? This was because J.D. Vance is trying to back up Trump's, what I consider to be an insincere laying of a wreath at the Arlington National Cemetery and breaking federal law by taking pictures and disrespecting the soldiers that died. Disrespecting the soldiers that are buried there. I know, look, it's hard to defend Trump in this case. And if you're going to vote for Trump, that's fine. But that's not going to stop us from telling the truth about Trump. And why are so many Trump supporters snowflakes? A couple of them called the show yesterday. And we're going to talk about that this afternoon. And also, again, this is the beginning of Labor Day weekend. It's the unofficial and emotional end of summer. College football begins this weekend. Tulane plays Southeastern tonight at Yulman Stadium on the Tulane campus. LSU plays USC Sunday in Vegas. It's all starting. And if you're traveling this weekend, are you going to stop at Buc-ee's if you're heading over to the Gulf Coast beaches? Buc-ee's is going to be packed. But I told you my recent trip with my family to Pensacola Beach, we stopped at Buc-ee's, and it wasn't crowded at all because we went on a Saturday. Now, if you go on a Friday afternoon, it's going to be packed. It's going to take you a while to get in and out of the parking lot. If you go on a Sunday, it's going to take you a while to get in and out of the parking lot because people, you know, go Friday and they come back on Sunday. So it's really, really crowded. But, you know, we went on a Saturday and it wasn't crowded. So there are times you can go to Buc-ee's and, you know, look for beaver-related items. And, I mean, they've got some great food in there. I mean, they really do. It's you know, I think more entertaining than the number of gas pumps they have, more entertaining than the sheer size of the place, more entertaining than the beaver shots of the beaver with the two teeth, more entertaining than all of that is the people who go there. It is the greatest people watching place ever. So yeah, if you get a chance to stop in Buc-ee's, be patient because it could be a little crowded. All right, if you want to join us with a comment, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. And we will do the best we can to get to as many calls as we can, get to as many of your texts as we can. And Ian Hoke is our senior producer at the controls in the other studio. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon to you too as well. Just hey. In here senior producing.
Hey, did you get caught in any rain?
I got sprinkled on a little bit biking over here, but not too bad. I certainly got upstairs before, I don't know, I guess it was like 12:30, maybe 45 minutes ago. It started raining pretty hard. Yeah. And you know, we're on the 8th floor up here, and it, sometimes when it's windy and rainy at the same time, it looks like it's raining up because the wind hits the skyscraper and then like pushes the rain that has fallen up, like away from the ground. So it can be kind of disorienting. You know, you're at your computer and then you look over and it's raining up.
Yeah. And, you know, this being a stormy day is, I think, helping bring back recollections of Hurricane Katrina and Hurricane Ida.
Oh, God, like we needed the help.
Yeah. You know, I think the city is a lot better off now than it once was. I think what happened with Katrina, you know, and this is an overview. Katrina brought a lot of millennials to the city who came here with the idea of wanting to help. They fell in love with our culture and they stayed. They have manifested change. Their presence has manifested change in our city. I have seen, and millennials are the largest segment of the U.S. population now. So millennials have the power that baby boomers used to have. And, you know, this is one of the reasons why there's tension between boomers and millennials. Because boomers are realizing that they don't have as much control as they once had over the economy and over things that are introduced into our society. A lot of things are now being catered to the millennial generation and younger generations. So I think that it's interesting that a lot of millennials came here, and I think that they helped change the city to some degree and made the city have a slightly more cosmopolitan attitude. And when you go to Bywater and the Marigny and you go to areas, you see young people, and some of them are too young to have been here for Katrina, but they might be the kids of people who came here for Katrina. But I see a really healthy, edgy crowd, population in New Orleans that I don't know if it always existed, but I see a really healthy crowd of edgy people who are, very hip and very creative.
We're having a conversation, my friends and I. I was here, 4 years before Katrina and made friends with a lot of people, 2006, 7, 8, 9, 10, when, we're 25 to 30 years old and we're kind of the center of the universe. We're driving the theater scene, the music scene, all the creative, physical, visual art, dancing and busking and all sorts of different things. We were the center of the universe for a while. And now we wonder what's happened, because the theater scene is in big trouble. The comedy scene seems like it's struggling badly. There's just not as much sort of creative energy out there as there was, 15 years ago. And we wonder if that's because there was the sort of post-Katrina swell of young people coming to the city that kind of make their way. And now maybe has the swell receded as New Orleans became a slightly less attractive place to live, because it used to be so cheap. And now it's not that cheap anymore. Like the neighborhoods that you just mentioned, when I lived in the Marigny, it was rotten with 20-year-olds. And now if you see 20-year-olds in the Marigny, they're visiting. They don't live there. It's all doctors and lawyers and Indian chiefs in
the
Marigny now.
Well, the other thing, Ian, is when you first go to a city, you don't see the ugliness of the city. And you wonder if a lot of these people who came here stood it as long as they could, and then they started to understand the politics, the mentality of New Orleans, the laissez-faire attitude that does not always work in our favor, and maybe they decided to just bail. I mean, we're not staying here. I mean, in a lot of ways, this city sucks. I mean, I love this city. This is my home, but I'm honest enough to say in a lot of ways, this city sucks, and until we realize that collectively as a city, and until the politicians admit that this city sucks in a lot of ways, nothing is going to change, and people are going to continue to move out.
You give me 5 minutes, I could write down a list of 30 people that I loved and made art with and did all sorts of stuff, back in the mid-2000s, that aren't here anymore because they pursued career opportunities elsewhere. They wanted to go to grad school or they wanted to have kids, and this wasn't the right place for them to do that. And I think the city is worse off for it. It would be a more magical place if those people were still here. But now we're kind of sitting around wondering, were we part of a movement that came and then receded? Or are we now just the old people who have kind of become the older generation? It was better 10 years ago when it was us. It's like, we're having a conversation about that now. And yeah, it's just an interesting thing to consider that, this is a thing that every generation does. They say, it was better 10 years ago or better 20 years ago. But the truth is, in some ways, if we're just talking about artistically, I think the city might have been better off 20 years ago.
But it's ironic that the city, the Army Corps of Engineers, the mentality of the Army Corps of Engineers seemed to be congruent with the mentality of New Orleans. Like, let's go to lunch instead of checking the levees. Let's do this instead of doing that. Or, why do we have to worry about doing it the right way? I mean, hey, this is the way we do it. And the real flaw came not from Hurricane Katrina. It came from the levees breaking afterwards, which seemed to be, in part, the fault of the Army Corps of Engineers, because it seemed like they were incompetent and did not consistently do their jobs. And so it is that mentality that drowned the city. And it's continuing to drown us, not physically, not figuratively. I mean, I guess figuratively, not physically. But, I mean, we're drowning in this mentality of, sewage and waterboard. Whatever. I mean, that is the attitude that just emanates from the city of New Orleans. And for visiting tourists who come here, this laissez-faire attitude, man, that's cool if you're visiting. But, man, we can't live with that 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, and we do. And that attitude, somebody needs to stand up to that attitude, address it, and say, we're not going to do this anymore. we're going to be better. We're going to be the best we can be. And all the whining and the bitching and the complaining about West End and the restaurants and the entertainment venues that are gone, all of that whining and bitching and complaining, let me tell you, I just went to Pensacola Beach. Guess what? They've had hurricanes. They had Ivor. I think that's the last big storm they had. That place was wiped out. It's all built back. And don't talk to me about insurance, because they do it in other cities. They do it along the Gulf Coast. They do it in Pensacola. They do it elsewhere, but we can't do it here because of all the arguing and the bickering over, well, you know, it's the Army Corps of Engineers that's involved. It's Jefferson Parish. It's Orleans Parish. I don't give a damn who's involved. Get together and make something happen. But they don't do it. They just sit on their asses and they don't do anything. And it really is irritating to those of us who give a damn about this city. Okay, let's go to Ian with a couple of your texts.
I'll be fast. Here's a text that says, the city used to have a decent cost of living. That's no longer the case. It doesn't make sense financially for most young people to move here. Terrible infrastructure, poor schools, sky-high rents, a service center job market, sky-high insurance rates, and zero innovation does not bode well for any city.
No, and you go to another city, you do not have streets like we have here. They're not potholes in Portland. They're not potholes in other cities. And we've got the potholes. I realize part of it is on the wet ground upon which we're built. But still, not enough is done to correct those problems.
Here's a text that says, Scoot, I totally agree with you and Ian. My son is 26, and we had lunch the other day, and he was talking about when he leaves New Orleans. He says it's inevitable.
For a lot of people, it is. And, you know, it's the fault of the city. The city is chasing people out. And a lot of it has to do with the mentality that's coming from City Hall. And if our mayor's got time to mess around with booty guard, then she's got time to do a competent job. And I'm sorry, she's not doing it. And she's not being positive about our city. She's not coming forward and talking about addressing things like the attitude, this laissez-faire. Hey, you know, we're New Orleans. Hey, this is the way we do it. Screw that mentality. That's what's getting us in trouble.
Four more. Here's one that says, I was a Katrina baby, raised in Chalmette. There was nothing to go back to, so we relocated to Thibodaux. It was a blessing in disguise, as I was then able to grow up with my mother's side and meet the friends that I have now and where I met my wife. As an adult, Ida then hit Thibodaux. Another blessing in disguise, as the power outages with nothing else to do brought the conception of my first daughter. LOL.
But wasn't it a little hot to
That's
do that?
Nice. Yeah, I mean, hey,
no
man.
No AC? It's a little hot.
You got to do something. Here's a text that says, I am also disappointed and kind of angry at the way the Donald Trump campaign handled their photo ops, especially at the cemetery yesterday. As for what I would ask Kamala, I would like to know how she plans to deal with Putin and maybe some of the other dictators.
All right. If you've got a comment, the Okunar Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. And, you know, if any time during the show today you want to share your thoughts about Katrina or about Ida, feel free to do that. And we'll just we'll talk about that on and off really throughout the show. Any memories, any thoughts on New Orleans being better or worse after Katrina and after Ida? Any problems that linger because of those storms? All right, coming up, some of the new rules about calling our show. Yeah, it seems like a lot of people have a misunderstanding about our show and calling in, so I've got some rules that are now established, and we'll tell you about those when we come back on WWL.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Today, August 29th, is the anniversary of Hurricane Katrina 19 years ago, and Hurricane Ida, which was a bitch. That was 3 years ago. I have vivid memories of that one, too. We're going to talk about that throughout the afternoon, if you want to share your thoughts and feelings about the aftermath of those storms or what you went through on this day. 19 years ago or 3 years ago, the Okunar Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. Also, still to come, why are so many Trump supporters snowflakes? I mean, it was Republicans and conservatives that came up with the term snowflake to describe liberals and Democrats who are easily offended. Why are so many Trump supporters so easily offended by some of the things that I say? There's nothing on this show that I talk about that is not the truth. I don't make up stuff to talk about on the air. You may not hear some of the things that we talk about because not every show talks about it, but we're talking about the truth. So with people kind of whining and complaining about calling into the show, I thought it was time that we establish some set rules. So this is posted on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. And if you're going to call the show, I suggest that you read these rules. They're listed right there, Scoot on the Air Facebook. And if you haven't joined us yet, I hope you'll be part of that growing group. Comment on what we post and also comment on some of the comments because I need your wisdom with some of the posts that we get. All right, so you call into the show. It begins with a quick conversation with senior producer Ian or with Coleman, if Ian is off and Coleman is in the other studio. This is the beginning of a process. It's not screening for opinions. Ian and Coleman are screening for your name, location, and the ability to converse with me. All opinions are welcomed. Let me repeat that. All opinions are welcome. But here are the rules. First of all, be courteous to Ian or Coleman. Answer the questions you are asked and keep it short. No pontificating on the phone with Ian or Coleman. Any rudeness will lead to you not getting on the air with me. And these rules are set. While you're on hold, and we apologize if it takes a while to get to your call, but we're busy and there's a lot that needs to be talked about. Listen to the show through your phone. Do not listen to the radio, which is in delay. That could cause you to lose your spot when we come to callers. You can put the show on speaker, but when I come to you, please remove the phone from speaker and talk directly into the phone. Once you're on the air with me, let's simply have a conversation. I will allow you time to talk and make your point. Now, if you have been talking for a period of time, I may interject or redirect the conversation. Time on the air is a conversation. It is not a monologue. It is not a campaign speech for your candidate. And again, these are rigid rules that we have. And we have every right to make these rules for calling into our show. We're under no obligation to take all calls. We're under no obligation to allow a caller to say everything they want to say. And as host of the show, it's my job to keep the show moving and to keep it interesting. Some callers get more time than other callers. You may get more time than some. Some may get more time than you. Life ain't fair. Wear a helmet. Again, we are under no obligation to take all calls or to let every listener say everything they might want to say. Our show does an admirable job of allowing all opinions on the air. And we allow more opposing views than conservative radio talk shows across this country, which are dedicated to only promoting Trump and conservative ideology. We will not allow misinformation. We will not allow things that are not facts. We will not allow this talk about the election was stolen. We're not going to allow any of that stuff on the show. We don't have to. And be prepared for me to interrupt if you start rambling about misinformation, hearsay, or plain old BS from brainwashed people. Be prepared for me to interrupt. Again, these are our rules. If you insult me or Ian or anyone on WWL, we're going to end the conversation. There are times that we may end conversations. We have a right to do that. And finally, I cannot possibly please every caller, and I'm not going to even try. I've never attempted to try to please everybody. But follow the basic rules, and your call can be part of a very highly successful, highly entertaining talk show. Anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, I would just add, everybody knows that we can't do the show without the callers. So when we say these are the rules, like,
well, of course, we can.
But we...
I mean, the callers are part of our show.
Sure, like when the phones were out for three weeks, we did it without the callers.
I guess I want the callers to know that it's our choice to have callers on the air. We don't have
to.
There's no FCC regulation.
No,
there's no company policy. WWL does not require me to have calls on the air. So this is something that we choose to do. It is a privilege. It is not a right to get on the show.
Yeah, there's no terms and conditions here. This isn't a service that you have, like, paid for.
Correct.
And it's neither that is a service that you agreed contractually to, like, behave by certain rules. Like, when you sign up for a Facebook account or a Twitter account, there's terms and conditions. You probably don't remember having done that, but whenever you set those accounts up on social media, you said, yes, I won't, you know, use this kind of slurs, or I won't post, you know, pornography or things like that. You didn't do anything like that with WWL. So if we don't like you,
right,
then we just don't have to deal with you. And there's no recourse for you in that regard, which just speaks to the point. It is a privilege. It is not a right. There is no guarantee to be, you know, we'll treat you with respect and care as much as it's possible to do that. But if you cannot return the favor, then we'll just never hear from you again. And that's fine.
That's all right.
Yeah.
And if we don't like you and you're entertaining, we may keep you on the air anyway.
Yeah, we'll drag it out.
This is all about entertainment. You know, let's make no mistake about that.
Indeed.
So, those are just the rules. And if you want to brush up on any of the rules, I mean, this whining and complaining, you didn't get enough time, or you cut me off. So what? It's our show. We try to accommodate everybody. And we face certain challenges when we try to accommodate everybody. But we do a hell of a job getting opposing views on this show. So stop this whining and complaining about, oh, you never let our side say anything. The people who call this show who disagree with me are many. And they get a chance to say a lot. But again, we can't please every listener. And every listener is not going to get a chance to say every single thing they want to say. We have breaks to get to. We have a lot of things. So I just, after yesterday's show, I just had this fresh new look about having some rules. So if you want to refresh your memory, the rules are posted on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. Check them out. All right. Got to get to a break here. When we come back, we'll start getting to some of your calls. I hope you heard what we were talking about. The Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870, 504-260-1870. When I think about Hurricane Katrina, when I think about the devastation from Hurricane Ida, both of them happened on this day, I think about this song in particular that I think really does reflect the mood that so many of us have. So think about those two storms and think about this song. And remember, Katrina may have hit 19 years ago today, but it was shortly after Katrina the levees broke. And that was the problem. And the Army Corps of Engineers had a hand in that. I'm Scoot on the Air. Let's get to a few of your calls. Let's go to Jeff in Metairie. Jeff, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot. I wanted to talk about the Donald Dump photo op at the Arlington National. But first of all, I really enjoyed your talk about New Orleans and the problems. I think you should run for mayor, and I'm not just saying that to butter your buns or whatever. I think you're on the right track. But as far as I was in the Air Force 20 years. I retired. There's plenty of reasons why I wouldn't vote for Donald Dump for inspector of toilets, much less commander in chief. But this Arlington National Cemetery, and I realize one of the several of the families asked him there. That's fine to lay a wreath. But, you know, standing on graves and with thumbs up and also on graves of people who didn't agree to it. I mean, honestly, Scoot, as a veteran, I'm an attorney. I wasn't like in combat, but I did serve 20 years. It makes me want to go outside and vomit. I mean, I feel physically ill by seeing this man and how he has no conception about what it means to serve in the military, what it means to sacrifice. It really... And I would just say to my other fellow military veterans, how you could even consider voting for this monstrosity just floors me.
Jeff, I understand. I understand from the standpoint of a veteran how you would feel that way. And for Trump to have said things that he has said, demeaning, degrading things about people who got shot up, people who are dead because they served the country, coming from somebody who was a draft dodger, that just doesn't work for me.
No, doesn't work for me either. I don't know. I mean, I don't claim that. I like Harris and I like Waltz, but I don't. They're not perfect. They're like anybody else. But
yeah.
There's no other try. And I'm not making a speech for. I mean, I'm not. I was a lifelong Republican, and this guy came along. I think people have lost their ever-loving minds.
Jeff, you know, a lot of Republicans are not really admitting it, but deep inside, they know that this is not the Republican Party that they once respected.
Right.
And I was a Republican, registered Republican for a very long time, and then it was the party that left me. I didn't leave the party. And
exactly.
Jeff, I appreciate the call, and thank you for your service to our country. All right, let's go to Country Slick in New Orleans. Hey, Country Slick.
How you doing, Scoop, man? I just got two quick things to say.
Okay.
How could you be the mayor, right? And somebody, you start off good. And so, you know, your husband was with you everywhere you was going at. But then once you start getting the publicity, somebody could just come and just abracadabra you from, you know, where you came from. I just don't understand that. And as far as on, you know, New Orleans, our leadership, bro, is horrendous. Our leadership, bro, and this is the land of common sense, bro. And as far as living somewhere else, I lived in Houston, bro. And the refrigerator and the TV be your best friend. You better be thankful to come from New Orleans, bro. There's no other place
well,
like
I think,
it,
you know, I think it's fine to be proud to be from here, but we don't have to accept the things that are wrong with our city. We don't have to accept the things, the mentality that is wrong, and that's a problem. Oh, this is New Orleans. We're so proud. Everybody loves us. We have an ego problem. We've been told how great we are by so many people who come here to visit. Oh, New Orleans, you're great. And I know people who are like this. They're so damn proud of everything New Orleans. They think that everything New Orleans is great. And for those of us who live here, it's not. It's not. And so the idea that everything here is great, so people think, well, this is just the way we do it. We're great. Everybody thinks we're great. But we're not great for the people who live here. And we can be better. And we don't push ourselves to be better because we have this ego that thinks, oh, well, we're just the best because we're New Orleans. We could be a hell of a lot better than we are. Let's go to Ian with a couple of your text messages.
And I think people like our rules here. Here's a text that says, I like both of you guys. Love the show. Even if I disagree sometimes, actually, I want to hear other people's opinions. You may change my mind or at least give me pause to think about things from another perspective. Keep doing things the way y'all are doing it. You're doing it right, guys.
We will. Thank you very much.
And here's a text that says, I commend you both for the pro-level restraint shown to so many who don't deserve it. Thank you for the open forum and the sanity.
Thank you.
Here's some other texts about some other stuff that says, hey, it'll take New Orleans as long to recover from Hurricane LaToya, the hurricane of neglect, as it did from Katrina.
You know, I think there's truth in that. But you know, this mentality, it wasn't just Cantrell. You know, she was infected with the mentality that was here. If Cantrell was still in Oakland or L.A. or wherever she's from specifically, California, if she stayed there, she might be a different person than she is here. What is sad is people who have a better attitude come here. And they develop a laissez-faire attitude because this is New Orleans. I've seen general managers come in here, and instead of trying to be the best, they just fall in line with the thinking. And that's what bothers me most about this whole city.
I'll leave you with this one. This text says, Bucky's nuggets are super addictive, LOL.
I didn't try those.
Bucky's nuggets?
Perhaps it was the name.
Bucky's nuggets? I want to get some Bucky's nuggets.
Yeah, you know, again, if you don't go there during prime time, it's wide open. You can get in there and get out of there. But I mean, somebody posted on my Facebook page the video that I did from Bucky's the other day. They said something about 30 minutes to get out of the parking lot.
That's insane.
Yeah,
just go to a different store.
It's like Stuckey's on steroids.
Stuckey's.
Remember Stuckey's?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yes, I wasn't.
You
yeah.
might be too young.
No, I mean, yeah, probably. But, you know, I know about old
there,
things.
There were Stuckey's all over the country, and they always had pecan logs at the front. You know,
oh,
I
man,
pecans,
miss me
so
with
I
a pecan log.
That, you know, but,
ugh.
Yeah, but, you know, we always thought it was a big deal to stop at Stuckey's. But now, you know, Buc-ee's is the big thing. If there's one in your area, and I remind you, they're building a Buc-ee's at the Minge exit just over the line in Mississippi. All right, if you want to join us, the Oakenhart Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. And on this, the day that Katrina hit 19 years ago and the day that Ida hit 3 years ago, we can remember some of the things that are gone but not forgotten. How about West End? And I'm so tired of the arguing and the bickering, the battle lines being drawn, and the excuses made for us to not develop that area. Tired of it. In any other city, there would have been bulldozers out there doing the job. And that would be a thriving area that this entire city could enjoy. I'm Scoot on the Air, and we'll be back on WWL. Today is a really sad day on the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture calendar because this is Michael Jackson's birthday. Michael Jackson should be 66 years old today, but he died back in the summer of 2009. And boy, I remember that day. I remember talking about that on the show. I'm Scoot, and coming up in the next hour, we'll get to more of your calls. We'll get to more of your text messages. Also, what would you, if you were Dana Bash from CNN, what question would you like to ask Kamala Harris and Tim Walz? And what question do you think Dana Bash should ask them? I've got a key question that I would love to ask Kamala Harris. So I'll share that with you. Also, why are so many Trump supporters snowflakes? I mean, you can't deny it. It's true. I mean, so many people are so offended by some of the things that I say on the show when none of it is made up, none of it's a lie. Why are you so offended by the truth? Why are you so offended when you hear some of these things? And we'll also talk a little bit more about Donald Trump and the embarrassing moment at the Arlington Cemetery. He could have gone there privately and done the wreath ceremony with the family, the Gold Star family, but they had to turn it into a photo op. Obnoxious. Donald Trump has also introduced oral sex into the campaign, and his running mate, J.D. Vance, told Kamala Harris to go to hell. Could this campaign get lower? Yeah, probably. Also, we've got some new polling numbers. Enthusiasm is up, but it's up more with Democrats and Democrat-leading independents than it is with Republicans. If the enthusiasm stays that way, Kamala Harris might win. I'm Scoot. A lot coming up next on WWL.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
And remember, Katrina may have hit 19 years ago today, but it was shortly after Katrina the levees broke. And that was the problem. And the Army Corps of Engineers had a hand in that. I'm Scoot on the Air. Let's get to a few of your calls. Let's go to Jeff in Metairie. Jeff, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot. Well, I wanted to talk about the Donald Dump photo op at the Arlington National. But first of all, I really enjoyed your talk about New Orleans and the problems. I think you should run for mayor. And I'm not just saying that to butter your buns or whatever. I think you're on the right track. But as far as I was in the Air Force 20 years. I retired. There's plenty of reasons why I wouldn't vote for Donald Dump for inspector of toilets, much less commander in chief. But this Arlington National Cemetery, and I realize one of the several of the families asked him there, that's fine, to lay a wreath. But you know, standing on graves and with thumbs up and also on graves of people who didn't agree to it. I mean, honestly, Scoot, as a veteran, I'm an attorney. I wasn't like in combat, but I did serve 20 years. It makes me want to go outside and vomit. I mean, I feel physically ill by seeing this man and how he has no conception about what it means to serve in the military, what it means to sacrifice. It really And I would just say to my other fellow military veterans, how you could even consider voting for this monstrosity just floors me.
I understand from the standpoint of a veteran how you would feel that way. And for Trump to have said things that he has said, demeaning, degrading things about people who got shot up, people who are dead because they served the country, coming from somebody who was a draft dodger, that just doesn't work for me.
No, doesn't work for me either. I don't know. I mean, I don't claim that. I like Harris and I like Waltz, but I don't. They're not perfect. They're like anybody else. But
yeah,
there's no other choice. And I'm not making a speech for. I mean, I'm not. I was a lifelong Republican, and this guy came along. I think people have lost their ever-loving minds.
Jeff, you know, a lot of Republicans are not really admitting it, but deep inside, they know that this is not the Republican Party that they once respected.
Right.
And I was a Republican, registered Republican for a very long time, and then it was the party that left me. I didn't leave the party. And
exactly.
Jeff, I appreciate the call, and thank you for your service to our country. All right, let's go to Country Slick in New Orleans. Hey, Country Slick.
How you doing, Scoop, man? I just got two quick things to say.
Okay.
How could you be the mayor, right? And somebody, you start off good. And so, you know, your husband was with you everywhere you was going at. But then once you start getting the publicity, somebody could just come and just abracadabra you from, you know, where you came from. I just don't understand that. And as far as on, you know, New Orleans, our leadership, bro, is horrendous. Our leadership, bro, and this is the land of common sense, bro. And as far as living somewhere else, I lived in Houston, bro. And the refrigerator and the TV be your best friend. You better be thankful to come from New Orleans, bro. There's no other place
well,
like
I think,
it,
you know, I think it's fine to be proud to be from here, but we don't have to accept the things that are wrong with our city. We don't have to accept the things, the mentality that is wrong, and that's a problem. Oh, this is New Orleans. We're so proud. Everybody loves us. We have an ego problem. We've been told how great we are by so many people who come here to visit. Oh, New Orleans, you're great. And I know people who are like this. They're so damn proud of everything New Orleans. They think that everything New Orleans is great. And for those of us who live here, it's not. It's not. And so the idea that everything here is great, so people think, well, this is just the way we do it. We're great. Everybody thinks we're great. But we're not great for the people who live here. And we can be better. And we don't push ourselves to be better because we have this ego that thinks, oh, well, we're just the best because we're New Orleans. We could be a hell of a lot better than we are. Let's go to Ian with a couple of your text messages.
And I think people like our rules here. Here's a text that says, I like both of you guys. Love the show. Even if I disagree sometimes, actually, I want to hear other people's opinions. You may change my mind or at least give me pause to think about things from another perspective. Keep doing things the way y'all are doing it. You're doing it right, guys.
We will. Thank you very much.
And here's a text that says, I commend you both for the pro-level restraint shown to so many who don't deserve it. Thank you for the open forum and the sanity.
Thank you.
Here's some other texts about some other stuff that says, hey, it'll take New Orleans as long to recover from Hurricane LaToya, the hurricane of neglect, as it did from Katrina.
You know, I think there's truth in that. But this mentality, it wasn't just Cantrell. You know, she was infected with the mentality that was here. If Cantrell was still in Oakland or L.A. or wherever she's from specifically, California, if she stayed there, she might be a different person than she is here. What is sad is people who have a better attitude come here. And they develop a laissez-faire attitude because this is New Orleans. I've seen general managers come in here, and instead of trying to be the best, they just fall in line with the thinking. And that's what bothers me most about this whole city.
I'll leave you with this one. This text says, Bucky's nuggets are super addictive, LOL.
I didn't try those.
Bucky's nuggets?
Perhaps it was the name.
Bucky's nuggets? I want to get some Bucky's nuggets.
Yeah, you know, again, if you don't go there during prime time, it's wide open. You can get in there and get out of there. But I mean, somebody posted on my Facebook page the video that I did from Bucky's the other day. They said something about 30 minutes to get out of the parking lot.
That's insane.
Yeah,
just go to a different store.
It's like Stuckey's on steroids.
Stuckey's.
Remember Stuckey's?
Oh yeah, of course. Yes, I wasn't.
You
yeah.
might be too young.
No, I mean, yeah, probably. But you know, I know about old
there,
things.
There were Stuckey's all over the country, and they always had pecan logs at the front. You know,
oh
I
man,
pecans,
miss me
so
with
I
a pecan log.
That, you know,
ugh.
Yeah, but you know, we always thought it was a big deal to stop at Stuckey's. But now, you know, Buc-ee's is the big thing. If there's one in your area, and I remind you, they're building a Buc-ee's at the Minge exit, just over the line in Mississippi. All right, if you want to join us, the Oakenhart Jewelers talk and text line, 504-260-1870. And on this, the day that Katrina hit 19 years ago and the day that Ida hit 3 years ago, we can remember some of the things that are gone but not forgotten. How about West End? And I'm so tired of the arguing and the bickering, the battle lines being drawn, and the excuses made for us to not develop that area. Tired of it. In any other city, there would have been bulldozers out there doing the job. And that would be a thriving area that this entire city could enjoy. I'm Scoot on the air, and we'll be back on WWL. Today is a really sad day on the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture calendar because this is Michael Jackson's birthday. Michael Jackson should be 66 years old today, but he died back in the summer of 2009. And boy, I remember that day. I remember talking about that on the show. I'm Scoot, and coming up in the next hour, we'll get to more of your calls. We'll get to more of your text messages. Also, what would you, if you were Dana Bash from CNN, what question would you like to ask Kamala Harris and Tim Walz? And what question do you think Dana Bash should ask them? I've got a key question that I would love to ask Kamala Harris. So I'll share that with you. Also, why are so many Trump supporters snowflakes? I mean, you can't deny it. It's true. I mean, so many people are so offended by some of the things that I say on the show when none of it is made up, none of it's a lie. Why are you so offended by the truth? Why are you so offended when you hear some of these things? And we'll also talk a little bit more about Donald Trump and the embarrassing moment at the Arlington Cemetery. He could have gone there privately and done the wreath ceremony with the family, the Gold Star family, but they had to turn it into a photo op. Obnoxious. Donald Trump has also introduced oral sex into the campaign, and his running mate, J.D. Vance, told Kamala Harris to go to hell. Could this campaign get lower? Yeah, probably. Also, we've got some new polling numbers. Enthusiasm is up, but it's up more with Democrats and Democrat-leading independents than it is with Republicans. If the enthusiasm stays that way, Kamala Harris might win. I'm Scoot. A lot coming up next on WWL. Today is a really sad day on the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture calendar because this is Michael Jackson's birthday. Michael Jackson should be 66 years old today, but he died back in the summer of 2009. And boy, I remember that day. I remember talking about that on the show. I'm Scoot, and coming up in the next hour, we'll get to more of your calls. We'll get to more of your text messages. Also, what would you, if you were Dana Bash from CNN, what question would you like to ask Kamala Harris and Tim Walz? And what question do you think Dana Bash should ask them? I've got a key question that I would love to ask Kamala Harris. So I'll share that with you. Also, why are so many Trump supporters snowflakes? I mean, you can't deny it. It's true. I mean, so many people are so offended by some of the things that I say on the show when none of it is made up, none of it's a lie. Why are you so offended by the truth? Why are you so offended when you hear some of these things? And we'll also talk a little bit more about Donald Trump and the embarrassing moment at the Arlington Cemetery. He could have gone there privately and done the wreath ceremony with the family, the Gold Star family, but they had to turn it into a photo op. Obnoxious. Donald Trump has also introduced oral sex into the campaign, and his running mate, J.D. Vance, told Kamala Harris to go to hell. Could this campaign get lower? Yeah, probably. Also, we've got some new polling numbers. Enthusiasm is up, but it's up more with Democrats and Democrat-leading independents than it is with Republicans. If the enthusiasm stays that way, Kamala Harris might win. I'm Scoot. A lot coming up next on WWL.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.